Chapter 11. The tech man was short, and his skin glistened with well-kept plumpness. His hair was a fringe, and his skull shone through pinkly. The rings on his fingers were thick and heavy, his clothes were scented, and he was the first man Mallow had met on the planet who hadn't looked hungry. The tech man's lips pursed peevishly. "Now, my man, quickly. I have things of great importance waiting for me. You seem a stranger." He seemed to evaluate Mallow's definitely un-Siwanese costume, and his eyelids were heavy with suspicion. "I am not of the neighborhood," said Mallow, calmly. "But the matter is irrelevant. I have had the honor to send you a little gift yesterday." The tech man's nose lifted. "I received it." "An interesting gewgaw. I may have use for it on occasion." "I have other and more interesting gifts, quite out of the gewgaw stage." "Oh." The tech man's voice lingered thoughtfully over the monosyllable. "I think I already see the course of the interview. It has happened before. You are going to give me some trifle or other. A few credits, perhaps a cloak, second-rate jewelry, anything your little soul may think sufficient to corrupt a tech man." His lower lip puffed out belligerently. "And I know what you wish in exchange. There have been others to suffice with the same bright idea. You wish to be adopted into our clan. You wish to be taught the mysteries of atomics and the care of the machines. You think because you dogs of Siwena, and probably your strangerhood is assumed for safety's sake, are being daily punished for your rebellion, that you can escape what you deserve by throwing over yourselves the privileges and protections of the tech man's guild." Mallow would have spoken, but the tech man raised himself into a sudden roar. "And now leave before I report your name to the protector of the city. Do you think that I would betray the trust? The Siwanese traitors that preceded me, perhaps. But you deal with a different breed now. Why, galaxy, I marvel that I do not kill you myself at this moment with my bare hands." Mallow smiled to himself. The entire speech was patently artificial in tone and content, so that all the dignified indignation degenerated into uninspired farce.